I'm telling you, I am so tickled and about the Word of God. It excites me. There's not anything better than the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I read one verse and it just excites me.
Amen.
Sometimes I read one word and it excites me. You know, it may be love, it may be Jesus, it may be the resurrection. You know, it may be heaven.
Amen.
It may be streets of gold. Yeah, it may be a city that's made not by the hands of man, but the hands of God. That excites me.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Christian people ought to be more excited than anyone else. And I'm telling you, when it comes to being excited about the Word of God and being able to come in and worship God in spirit and truth, ought to be more excited than they are. You realize, I believe that they'd be just a handful of us in the house of God,
yeah,
worshiping God, we ought to be noisier than a whole stadium full of people praising somebody,
yeah,
running down the field with a ball of some sort of a football, whatever. You realize, we ought to be, we're talking about eternal life.
Amen. That's right.
I want to tell you what, I don't think a football has put life in anybody, as I know of. I know I've seen people fall on one and knock the air out of them. I've seen that. But when we begin to look at the book of Romans in chapter 21, it says, but now the righteous of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference.
Yeah.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think I can stop right there. I think I got enough to excite me about the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
I think I got enough to pray about. I believe I got enough to say a few words. I'll try not to be as much. I got carried away last night. I got looking at heaven and heavenly things, and I actually forgot that we was in a rest home service. I tell you what, I was excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Last night. I don't know about anyone else, but I was excited.
Amen.
About Jesus. I was excited about all that He had done, and I'll tell you, I was looking over into glory land last night. I was seeing some things, and I was feeling some things, and I'll tell you what, I got a taste of heaven. And when I did that, I tell you, I better pray before we go any farther. Most righteous Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to just say thank you. I want to say thank you for always being there. I want to say thank you for never leaving me and never forsaking me. I want to say thank you. I want to, most of all, Lord, I want to thank you for the plan of salvation and writing my name way up in glory. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd use us tonight, that we could say a few words about you, about that great plan of salvation. When we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, talking about salvation, I mean, how many believe that salvation?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, how many believe that salvation is perfect?
Amen.
You realize it don't need anything else. I mean, it's perfect.
Amen.
And yet I believe with all my heart, and I believe I can prove it, that it is perfect. You realize, you say, well, how do you know that it's perfect? I want to tell you what, Jesus let us know that it was perfect. And you say, well, how do you know that if he said that it was perfect? You know, without knowing a few little bit more about the scriptures and about him coming and giving his life that we can have life and have it more abundantly, and him being the fulfillment of the law and bringing in the covenant of grace, and you realize that he comes, and when we read in the book of Revelation about anyone add to or take away from this book, yeah, the curses and the plagues in this book will be upon you. Well, I want to tell you what, that is all good, but there's something else that he said that let me know that it's perfect, and there's nothing else to add. There's nothing that you need to take away. You don't have to tweak it just a little bit or take it away. You realize when he got up and said, it's finished.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. When I was in school, when it meant finished, meant finished.
Right, amen.
I don't care how smart people get and try to make me believe that these words have changed. I want to tell you what.
Yeah.
God is already, and he put them in the context that he wanted it to be used,
amen,
in. I don't care if what they change or what they take away. You realize that there's something about God. And I tell you what, God has a will that no one perish and all goes to heaven.
Amen.
So he wanted to make sure,
that's right,
that we could choose. You know, God has not a respected person. No matter who it is, it's not, he don't have a respected person. I thought Mike was just going to preach my message tonight. But you know what? What about God's word? It can be tried. It can be preached twice, and
yeah,
it won't hurt a thing.
Right.
You realize there was one time that and I preached a message and one morning, and I tell you what, and it just didn't seem to go anywhere. You know, I would come back Sunday night, and if God said, you just preach it again. You know what I did? I just preached it again.
Yeah.
You realize? And it went out, and it just seemed like it just went to deaf ears. And I thought, well, maybe God's word don't go out the void. It goes out and it lodges somewhere. You know, I went Wednesday night, and he said, you just preach it again. And I went and I preached that same message again. And you know, I know some of the people that it wasn't for was probably saying, he has lost his mind. He's got a hole in his head that needs plugged.
Right.
You know, but what was happening? One person was there all three nights, was lost.
Yeah.
And it was softened in his heart.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Wednesday night, he come to the altar and say,
amen. That's right.
You realize obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm glad. I'm glad for that salvation. And he don't have any respected person. But you realize when we begin to go and we start to look at those things, you realize, and it's not God's will that anyone. You know, has anyone ever say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Has anyone ever heard that?
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. Preacher, how could a loving God that you keep telling me that he loves us enough to die for us, how could he send us to hell? I said, well, you wasn't listening.
That's right.
He's not sending you to hell. You just refuse to go. You just want to go. You wouldn't hear his word. He says, drunkards, he says, that'll take you to hell, won't it? I said, no, that won't take you to hell. Unbelief will.
Right, that's right.
You refuse to believe God. And don't get me wrong, don't go and say, Jimmy said that you could go out and get drunk. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you had faith, you wouldn't do it.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
It's time to wake up and begin to hear what God says. And it's time to realize that God is going out and He's sending a drawing. The Bible says that one cannot be saved without a drawing. Do you realize without the old time conviction and being sorry that you sinned before God and before heaven? I want to tell you what. If you didn't get in that condition, you can't get saved until you get there. That's why they want to go out and just sing a bunch of songs. You know what a lot is calling worship? I'm not talking about us Christian churches. I'm talking about some religious churches. There are differences.
Yeah.
You know, worship is more than coming in and saying one sad prayer, singing three dead songs, and a message that you just don't know where it is.
Right.
A dead message. You know, God is life.
Amen.
Yes.
And His Spirit is life.
Yeah. Amen.
You realize when wherever they're life, I'm going to tell you what their movement and their feelings, their things that's going on. And you realize when I begin to start to look at those kind of things, and I was thinking about what Mike was talking about, the rich man and Lazarus, you realize it's not God's will that anyone perish. You know, we read John 3:16 all the time, and we hear, I'm a whosoever. You know, whosoever shall believe in God shall be saved. You know, we believe that whole heart, soul, and mind. I know here at Victory we do. And if you don't, just hang around and you will.
Amen.
But when he began to look at Lazarus and the rich man, he was letting you know that he didn't have a respected person. He loved the rich man. You know, some people want to make it out that a rich man can't be saved. I want to tell you what, that's a lie.
Right.
God loves him just as much.
Amen.
You realize, and you cannot be too poor. You know, you can be the beggar. Look at Lazarus. You realize, and Lazarus means God's servant. One of God's. You know, the rich man, you realize what the rich man was? Rich man is a lover of himself.
Yeah.
He refuses to hear what God. He won't put anything. That's what he was wanting. You realize he didn't have compassion. He didn't have nothing. It was all about him and what he looked. You know, a lot of times they want to have an image and they begin to go out and be as a rich man. You know, there's no doubt that the rich man probably looked at it and said, you realize, he may have given to the church. He may have done things. But you know, sometimes they're more concerned and they want to be seen of men in order to be appeared. You know, the Bible says if you go out and you do these things, do it in a way that no one knows.
Yeah.
And it says that those that you have done secretly, he said, God will bring it to the open.
And
let them know. And you know, you don't have to put on your own show. God is going to use
you. That's true.
You know, you're going to be a little light. And then you're going to be a light that goes out. And when God blesses you and God lifts you up, you're going to know. You know, Lazarus, look, he was a beggar, but you realize he had a light. You realize he had something that the rich man knew that he had. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at it when they died. Look at him when they died.
Yeah.
The rich man trusted in himself and the work of his own hands.
Right.
The beggar believed in God and trusted him that he was going to provide for it. You know, not, and when it got time to die, you know, an angel come and carried Lazarus away in the arms of Abraham and laid him in Abraham's bosom. You know, and then the rich man found himself in hell and he lifts his eyes up. Why did he look? He looked up and said, can you send Lazarus back? You realize if he didn't see something in Lazarus, why would he say that?
Right.
You know, he might have never confessed it. He may have never told it. He may have told his servants, he said, don't pay any attention to it. You don't want to be around him. Look at it. He's desiring the crumbs that falls off my table. Look at him. He's letting the dogs come and lick his sores.
Right.
We don't want to be around. We don't want to be associated. You realize I got an image to uphold.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
But there was something that Lazarus had.
Yeah.
You realize that the world is one day is going to look up. You know, I like the part. You realize when the rich man looked in hell, you realize he could still see way up in glory and see what he missed.
That's right.
You realize the rich man was reaping what he sowed.
That's right.
He chose to do his own will. You realize the rich man, he looks and he says, will you send Lazarus down here and just that he give me a drop of water to cool my tongue? You realize that when he was in torment, you know, I've heard that preached a lot of different ways. You know, we can look at it as one drop of water. But I tell you what, I really believe that it wasn't just natural water. I believe it was the water that flowed down from the throne of God. And I believe it's the water that he said, if a man drank of this and said, and he will never thirst again. You realize the water that flows down from the throne of God, and he drinks of this, he'll never thirst again. You realize him in torment and in thirsty. I don't believe he's looking at natural water. He was looking over in heaven. He was looking over the great gulf. He was looking in a man at one time that desired the crumbs that fell off of his table. You realize he would see him in the arms of Abraham. He sees that everything was well. There's no doubt in my mind that Lazarus had told him about the living water that come down from the throne of God, and if a man had thirsted and drank of this, that he would never thirst again. I want to tell you, if you was in torment and this place prepared for the devil and his angel, and somebody would told you about the living water, and if one had drink of this, would never thirst again. When you was in torment, you was in the flames, what would you be asking for?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I had to believe that he was asking for the living water. You know, the living water was the Word of God.
Amen.
You realize natural water wouldn't have done him any good. God has worked things out. The plan of salvation is perfect. It's time. It's not God's will that anyone perish. God has no respect of person. He don't care how rich you are or how poor you are.
That's right.
He don't care how pretty you are or how ugly you are.
Yeah.
He don't care how strong you are or how weak you are. All he cares about is you.
Yeah.
You are a living soul. You realize if I would do all these things, you realize the Bible says that he put you in a body, and he put you in a body that he was pleased with.
That's right.
He's letting us know that we got a choice. The plan of salvation is perfect. It don't need anything. You know, when I begin to look at him, how he's letting us know, you realize I can look at one time when they had the ten leopards. You realize when I begin to look at them, and I thought, well, what would God want to tell us about these? You realize if we look at them, you realize these were sort of people that would have been put out of the city and out of the camp. You realize these were people that were unclean.
Yeah.
You realize whenever they was around, they would say unclean, unclean. You realize that there was people that wasn't worthy to be around the other ones. You realize that the only way they could is if they were healed. You realize the only thing that they could do is if they were healed, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would look at them and tell them if they was healed of the disease. And then they could go back, and they would. But you realize when you was in that shape, you realize you couldn't be around your family, Right. You couldn't have been around the town. You couldn't have been around your mom. You couldn't have been around the town. You were separated from everybody. But you realize one thing about them. One day, they come along and they was crying out because Jesus was coming along.
Yeah.
You realize they were saying, the plan of salvation was passed their way. You realize when Jesus passed that way, you realize they must have been a drawing that day.
Yeah.
The Bible says that one cannot be saved without a drawing. You realize in that day, they must have been some conviction there also. They wanted to be clean. They wanted this disease. The thing that separated from all their family, you realize there was only one answer. And that was Jesus.
Yeah.
You realize when Jesus did that, you realize he wasn't there to take away anything from the law. He let us know he wasn't even to take the least bit away. You realize he went out and he healed all 10.
Yeah.
All 10 that was. You realize that he knew the law better than the priest itself knew the law. He said, you go and show yourself to the priest.
Right.
And let them call you clean.
Yeah.
You realize he was doing it just the way. You know, when people begin to say, well, I don't care, the law is the Old Testament and we're the new. If the Old Testament and the law didn't mean anything, why did Jesus abide by it?
Right. That's right. That's right.
It goes to show you that the law, you realize there was something about that law. You realize the law, it said all men died under the law. You realize there was another thing that the law did. The law made people sad.
Yeah.
You realize because everyone looked and realized that no one could go to heaven. That's why they were so sad. That's why they went around trying to find fault with other people in order to justify themselves. You know, the Bible said, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. You realize the old prophets and the laws we read about right there and it come from the prophets. You realize the old prophets, though, they knew that there was a better day coming.
Amen.
Looked at it and seen ahead and longed for the days of grace that we have now.
Amen.
Because they knew without grace, nobody could go to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
The plan of salvation is perfect.
That's right.
You realize it's everything that we need. You realize with that salvation, when it comes and all of our shortcomings, you realize Jesus is going to be our great lawyer.
Yeah.
You realize when we stand before God, you realize he's going to say, he said, yeah. He said, Father, I'm theirs and they're mine.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, Father, you realize they've made plenty of mistakes, but I want to tell you something. They've been set free. You realize that I went there and I put the blood on there. And you know, Father, you said that you would honor the blood. And I want to tell you, Lord, and Father, they have got them covered by the blood.
Amen.
And he's going to look at me and say, if you just come on in to the joys of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
Amen.
And he won't fail you. On that day when it gets time for you to go in that city that we've been speaking about, that great city, not in a city like it. You know, they talk about a lot of famous cities. I want to tell you what, they're nothing like this city.
Amen.
You know, some people says, well, I sure would like to go to this country or that country. I want to tell you what, I want to go. I want to go over yonder country. I want to tell you what, a place that was made by the hands of God. I don't have any desire. When I leave this place, I'm content with where I'm at. I'm content with the plan of salvation. I'm content with the Word of God. And I want to tell you what I want. I want to see that great day when Jesus says, this is my child, and I'm his, and he's mine. And I want to tell you what, that'll be good enough.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, he wanted us all to know that he didn't have a respected person. You know, some people want to say that you've gone too far. You know that, and we know that we read that there are places that he said that he would turn you over to a reprobate mind. We know it's there, and we know blaspheming the Holy Ghost should not be forgiven. We know all that's there. But I want to tell you, there was one time a man was talking, and a guy come to him and said, "Brother, I think I've went too far." He says, "Well, how do you know that you went too far?" He says, "Well," he says, "I just think I've been too mean, put it off." He said, "Well, I wanted to ask you something." He says, "Do you still have a desire to be saved?" He said, "Yeah, I sure do." He said, "Well, you haven't went too far." He said, because if you'd went too far, you would no longer have that desire. You know, so the devil is a liar and the father of it. He continues to tell us lies. He continues to tell the world lies. Amen. In order to make them think that no one can go to heaven. Look at how many times he says, "Well, the same one that told me about the drinking and said that once won't go to heaven." He not too long after that, he looked at me and he says, I guess he didn't like my answer. And he said, looked at me and he says, "Well, I want to tell you what." He says, "There ain't going to be no one, none of you guys go to heaven anyway. You're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites." I said, "Well, do you believe the word of God?" And his dad was a deacon and of a church. And I said, "Well, do you believe the word of God?" He said, "Of course I believe the word of God." I said, "Well, I want to tell you something right now. The next time you tell me that there's not going to be none of us make to heaven, what the word of God says is going to be a number that cannot be a number." Yeah. So it tells me that you don't know what you're talking about. So why don't you just wake up and hear what the word of God says and quit denying it.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
He didn't say nothing else.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that you're going too far. You know, when I look at it, and the plan of salvation is perfect for everybody to go. And I'll wind it down. I see it's getting late. I won't get as carried away as I did last night. But we got to thinking about, is it too late? It's too late. You know, when Jesus was being crucified, and there was a thief on one end, on the right hand, and one on the left, I would say people probably would have looked and said, "Too late." Too late.
Yeah.
But you know, the Bible speaks of the 11th hour.
Yeah.
You know, the 11th hour, that's just before you make the crossing.
Yeah.
Now, you wait to the 12th hour, too late. But think about the two. You realize there was one on one side that said, "If thou art the Son of God." Remember, through faith, he was doubting the word of God. You realize, he said, "Save us and yourself also."
Yeah.
You realize, he was the one that sent himself to hell.
Yeah.
He had a choice to make. You realize, there's no doubt in my mind that right there, can you imagine being right there next to Jesus and crucified? They must have been a drawing. Remember, no one died when Jesus was around.
Yeah.
He raised the dead.
That's right.
He was the light of the world. He was the true light that was going to come down from heaven. In him was life.
Yeah.
All these things was there. Even with that there, he rejected it being right beside him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's good.
You have a choice. God loved you that much. You know, the one on the other side said, "Don't you know what you're talking about?" Says, "Will you remember me? Forgive me? And my sins, will you forgive me?" And he looked over being the compassionate one, one that loves. He wasn't concerned about why he was hanging there. He still wanted him. And he still loved him enough to forgive. And he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And these ones are going around and saying, I think I went too far. I'm telling you, we're putting limitations on God's love.
Yeah, that's right.
God forgives who he wants to forgive. He condemns who he wants to condemn. He's God. I'm not saying that you can get to the place. You know what? I'm not going to get into that reprobate mind. Not tonight. But look at it. It's not God's will that anyone perish. Someone says to you, I think I went too far. And I'll close on this. You realize Jezebel, they said that she was the wickedest woman we read in the Bible. And said even Jezebel, he gave her room to repent. And she repented him not. You realize God sent the prophet of God. And he warned her and told her if she didn't come and repent that she was going to die a terrible death. You know, it's not any different than what God is telling us when he tells us about this place called hell, where they're weeping and gnashing their teeth. People desire to die and cannot die, and where the fire never quits. He's saying, if you don't repent and get right with me, you're going to die a terrible death.
Yeah.
Just like he told Jezebel. He wasn't interested about her past. You realize, if I would look at Jezebel, you realize the world today, especially here in America, would have probably called her a successful woman.
Sure.
She was married to a king. She would have probably been wearing the finest clothes that money could have bought at that time. She would have probably been made up that she would have been very attractive at that time. She would have done all that stuff, but still yet, in the eyes of God, remember, he judges the heart.
That's right.
He would have looked down in that heart. And none of that outward appearance would have meant anything to him.
That's right.
You know, she didn't listen. She chose. She made a choice. She said, I'd rather have darkness than light. That's what you're saying every time you refuse Jesus Christ. You're saying, I'd rather have darkness than to have life. You know what happened to Jezebel? Just exactly what the prophet of God had said.
That's right.
She died a terrible death. Yeah. She fell off the wall and the dogs come and devoured her. I'm telling you, you got a choice.
Amen.
Salvation is real. Salvation is the greatest thing that ever come down from the throne of God. It's the most important thing that you'll ever have.